want you to lose weight.
No, we can't legally ask you to do that.
We didn't say lose weight. I might say tighten.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Bad Number for April 22nd, 2024. Nailed it. My name is Bertie Burns. Sitting right over there, just keeping it tight. Ashley Burns, how you doing, Ash?
Yeah. Good morning to you, and especially good morning to the lady who just broke a planking world record.
Grandmother, this was the weirdest stat
weirdest headline.
Grandmother of 12.
And I heard that, and I was immediately wait a minute, that's not how that works.
That's how that works at all. Grandmother of 12. It's like she could have one kid, and then that kid had 12 people.
Right, and she'd still be a grandmother of 12. So, I don't know, interesting stat. Regardless, a huge accomplishment, not the 12 grandkids, but the planking record. She just planked for 4.5 hours.
If you're not familiar with what a plank is, it sucks.
Yeah, we're not talking about like remember the early aughts? It was a mid-aughts like meme. Planking, people would just like lay down flat somewhere weird and have a picture and post it online, and that was planking. This is not that. This is the fitness version of that, where instead you're basically in push-up position and you hold it. And it doesn't seem like that would be a hard thing.
Kind of. Yeah, you're on your elbows.
Yeah, I can do that. Easy. Yeah. You're just like on your elbows. Keep your body straight. It is such a pain in the ass.
You might be surprised at how difficult it is to hit, like, the first time you do a plank, even a minute. And she did
4.5 hours.
With 12 grandkids.
You know, believe it or not, Bernie, they put her, the grandkids on her back one by one.
They were just all there cheering, Meemaw. Yeah. Go, Meemaw.
I think the longest plank I've ever done was 5 minutes. That was when I was in quite good shape.
It's like anything else, I think, endurance related. It is strength, combination of strength and endurance, but the endurance is one of the things I feel like builds up the fastest. Like when you first do it, you're like, 45 seconds is excruciating. Your whole body's shaking, quaking. And then sure enough, after like a couple weeks of doing it, you're building up really, really quickly.
Well, this lady trained for 10 years.
Hit your core. Well, I'm not saying to get to 4 hours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to get to like 2 minutes.
It's a nice measure of your overall core strength, because it doesn't just use, you know, your outer abdominal muscles. That, like, just having a six pack is not going to get you a good plank. You also, it's sort of everything, because you use your back muscles to hold yourself up. You can also switch the weight around into, like, you can use your butt to hold yourself up for a while.
Yeah.
But regardless, 4.5 hours is a really long time.
Yeah. And the world record is held by a guy in Australia, Daniel Scully of Australia.
How long did he go?
9 hours, 30 minutes, and 1 second.
And 1 second. Look, that's second 9:30. Counts. Every second counts.
I've always said, man, that treadmills and planks are the best way to explain the physics phenomenon of time dilation to people, because it's the same second for you, but relatively, it feels like so much longer. Like if your entire life was spent planking, you would feel like you lived 10,000 years. You would.
It's true. It's basically time travel.
Yeah. A minute is nothing. Yeah. It is nothing on the clock. When you're doing a plank, it's everything. But while we're talking about ladies keeping it tight as they get on in years, there was a photo released of the Spice Girls.
What is up, Spice Ladies?
They look great.
They look fantastic. So the Spice Girls, I guess, got back together for a Posh Spice's birthday party or something, and they look amazing.
They really do.
I'll bet they could plank for 10 minutes easy.
Do you remember the photo of Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell? Is that her name?
I think so, yeah.
With her bodyguard, and it was insane. It's like you look at these two beings and you think these two people are like 99.5% the same genetic material. And they look like two entirely different animals.
Yeah, got it right here. Yeah, she's tiny. He's this enormous.
It looks like, dude. It looks like the cover of an X-Men comic. It's what it looks like.
We'll put it in the link dump. It's funny. I was thinking about the Spice Girls after I saw this photo. I was like, man, I associate the Spice Girls with, I don't know if you had these when you were in school, but we had what's called a stomp in my junior high school, where they would cancel afternoon classes. We would all go into the gymnasium and they would turn on the like disco lights and have a DJ play really loud music. And then everyone would just like hang out for the afternoon. The idea was that everyone would like dance and be active and stuff, but mostly it was kids just in huddles talking as loud as possible to be heard over the music. But I associate stomps very closely with two things, the Spice Girls and the Macarena.
Okay, well, before we get off the topic of hot older ladies, which is one of my favorite topics, let's just talk about Helen Mirren for a second, just completely unrelated.
Oh my God, she is such a babe. So hot. There's a movie that she's just the most captivating creature in every single movie. But there's a movie I always really liked. It's called Red. And it's a bunch of like retired CIA assassin types who reunite from different factions, and they reunite and have a grand adventure.
Basically what this is, a bunch of action stars are getting older, so like, whoa, we better make a whole new genre of movies for them.
That's
essentially
there's the Expendables. There was another one that came out around the same time as the Expendables that always, like, I feel like got mushed in with that, even though it's completely different, and that was The Losers. Anyway, going back to Red, Helen Mirren plays like an MI6
she's lady. Hot.
And the first time you see her in this movie, she's arranging flowers, and then she pulls out like the shotgun from underneath the tablecloth, and I'm like, I'm so in love with you right now. So in love.
So on this topic, they had the list of inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Was it Helen Mirren?
No, it included Ozzy Osbourne, and notoriously fit older lady Cher is in there, which I'm surprised that neither one of those had been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame previously.
You know, I hear weird things about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, specifically.
Whoa, spill.
That there's like one guy who decides if you get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's just, does he like you or not?
Is this, well, it's like one dude's project?
I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to it because I don't pay that much attention to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Perhaps I will now that Cher's in it.
I'm starting the Internet Hall of Fame today. If I like you, you're in. First up, Fred.
Fred. What about Filthy Frank?
He's actually had a revival, like a whole second career. JD would know him better because JD's younger and hipper and Gen Z-er than me. His name is Doji. Look him up. Filthy Frank has now a career as a singer and has pivoted very well into that.
Joji. Musician.
Thank you.
He is known professionally as Joji and formerly for playing the character Filthy Frank and Pink Guy.
Play one of his songs if you would, and people will instantly recognize it. Here, actually, I'll look it up over here. But while we're talking about it, Cher was so far ahead of her time. I was just watching this compilation of a show that Cher had in the 70s, and it was like a talk show, like one of those variety shows. And she had this thing that she would do at the beginning of every show. Cher became known for A, being super, super fit. And
wearing wild costumes.
Wearing wild costumes, that's it. So her thing was every show, she would come out, start singing a number, and then do a giant reveal of her outfit. And somebody had a compilation of all the time she like reveals the outfit. To me, it's like so far ahead of the time because it reminds me of the lady that we like on TikTok. Sammy, is that her?
Yes, Sammy Jeffcut, I think, or J-Cut.
But here's Slow Dancing in the Dark by Joji as an example. So that's Filthy Frank, then like reinvented himself. You probably recognize that because it was such a popular clip that people would use on TikTok for a while.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so he's done really well. I believe, if I'm not wrong, while we're on the Internet Hall of Fame, welcome Filthy Frank. Filthy Frank was the inventor of the Harlem Shake.
That's what I remember him from primarily, yes. Yeah. Is he had the first really weird, they had the colored suits, I think.
Yeah.
And then, the Harlem Shake went absolutely everywhere.
So we have a kid, and he watches kids' shows. And, man, I even hate to talk about this, because people have stuff in their past that, you know, whatever, especially if it's years and years ago. But there was a very famous kids influencer, I'm trying to be careful here, on YouTube specifically. And then people were talking about like, oh, he's got a weird thing in his past. And I was like, oh, you know, because kids look up, you know, the people that they watch on YouTube or whatever. And then look this guy up and he had a Harlem Shake video, you know, from back in the day. So it must have been, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, that would have been like 2012-ish is when that was kicking off.
Lots of people did weird Harlem shake videos, you know, that's okay. And it's like his in particular, he was trying to figure out what his brand was before he became a kids influencer and everything. And in his Harlem Shake, he made a really poor choice where he took a dump on his friend's chest. I was like, that's not true. And then you look it up. It's 100% true. That was another brand that pivoted really well. They just put somebody else in place of him. And I think it's done fine.
But it has.
It's and I'm not going to name names, but it's not Miss Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
It is not. I'm going to say it's not. All right. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. It's like people do make choices. And I think he's been pretty open about it and even said like, yeah, you know, you do things when you're younger and you take risks, sort of saying all this like normal stuff until you figure out what he's talking about.
What it is
about,
he's referring to.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah, you're right. That was a choice. You could call it risky.
Yeah.
Can we talk about another poor choice? This one's been bothering me.
How much time you got?
Since I learned about it. So there's a big brand that deals a lot in alcoholic beverages called Diageo.
Oh, this is personal. This is everybody.
This is a big deal for us. This is a big poor choice by a company called Diageo. They own like a lot of whiskey distilleries and beer and everything. In fact, I think they own Guinness. And this is where the poor decision comes. Like 2 years ago, Guinness started putting out the most amazing variation on their well-known...
Controversial, I would say.
What was it? I think it was brilliant. It was an inspired move. They basically started putting out a cold brew coffee Guinness and saw it in the stores, thought, I've never tried this. I've never seen this before. Let's check it out. And it changed our lives. It's divine. It is so good.
Well, actually, I wouldn't say you're a big Guinness drinker, right?
No, I'm not.
But you would drink this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy Guinness. I think it's a really good drink. It's also just a meal.
Yeah, JD described Guinness as a slice of birthday cake in a cup, basically. I think talking about the carb content in it.
Yeah.
And it's weird for them to do that because Guinness is like, it's a unique thing. They will call it a stout beer, but it's not. It's its own thing. Like it's to me, it's like up there with Coke where somebody has made something that is vastly different than everything else that tries to be exactly like it. But yeah. It's like Guinness is Guinness. Like there's a famous brewery here in the UK also very controversial, called BrewDog. I don't know why they're controversial. They had
the owner's kind of a dickhead.
Is that what it is? They had like a dark heart stout that was apparently one of the, in all the articles I read about Guinness introducing this cold brew coffee beer that they made, it was because BrewDog was coming out with a competitor to Guinness now, and they were going to push hard for it. And so Guinness was trying to find new markets. And I would argue they did it with you, because now you would buy Guinness at the store. Did you ever buy Guinness prior to that?
Yes, I did. When I needed to make a stew.
She would make stew. That's a good
Guinness
point.
Stew. Yeah, but I didn't just buy it because I was like, you know, I could really just throw back a Guinness right now.
So good.
Now, let's talk about the poor decision. After less than 18 months on shelves, they've just canned it, as it were. They discontinued it. It's gone. And here's the problem. They did this in November. We just found out about it. And now it's too late for us to get like a stockpile.
We can't hoard.
It's just we can't hoard. There is no toilet paper left on the shelves. It's gone.
We're too late. You can say that was something that kind of caught us off guard. At the same time, we fully expected this because off the top of my head, I said, are they still making this? Because I fully expected them to stop at some point. There was a great drink that I loved called Coke Black, and it was spelled B-L-A-K. It was some way that Coke was going to get to hipsters or something. I don't know what it was. And it was so good.
That was coffee Coke, wasn't it?
It was coffee. Exactly. Sorry. Yeah. It was coffee Coke. So a lot of times they'll introduce these coffee. And there is a coffee Coke now in some markets. Like there are flavored Cokes in all sorts of different markets that you can't get in the U.S. Also, things you can't get in the U.S. There are like a billion variations on Kit Kats in other markets outside of the U.S.
Japan in particular, I think, is known for having all kinds of crazy Kit Kat variants. Like
green tea?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, while I was out last night, I ran out and tried to find some Guinness cold brew, thinking we could hoard the last little remnants. It was long gone. All gone. I did find your favorite cider, Rekordjegerlig. How do you say it?
Rekordjegerlig.
Rekordjegerlig, whatever it is. They have a peach one. and I got it for you.
Oh, that's
but I didn't
kind of
tell you.
You
about it because you're trying to keep tight right now.
I am. I'm trying to keep it tight.
Trying to keep it tight.
I mean, legally, you can't ask me to do that.
I'm not. I'm just saying, I clearly got you the peach recurgling. So,
you know what? The Well Report went out for our favorite drinks. My favorite quarter league cider was specifically, they had like a winter cider. It was like a like winter spice. It was like apples and cinnamon and that kind of thing. That also gone.
It sucks when you like something and it's like a niche market and it's a limited time thing and then it's gone. You're like, I loved this version of it. That would be a good thing for the poll today. What's something that you liked that not many people knew about that they then took off the market?
What's been taken away
and don't say
from you?
Don't say
is it the Spice Girls?
I was really impressed by them. I thought they did really great. All right, before we move on, I do want to say thank you to everyone who has supported our Patreon, patreon.com/morningsomewhere. And in particular, I would like to say thank you to Richard G. and Daniel Beltran. Thank you very much for sponsoring this podcast. All right, what else is going on in the news, Ash?
Great news. We don't even have to play our video games anymore. Sony has patented an autoplay game mode.
Yeah, I saw that. So what's the thing there? It's to get you past grindy stuff in games?
Grindy stuff. Or if there's, I don't know, a boss that you just can't seem to beat, you can get the game to play it for you. Basically, it's if you like games, but you don't actually want like games, this is for you. I make fun of it. But it's the only, it is the only way I'm likely to consume something like any of the Souls-like games. There's certain genres of games that enjoy punishing people. You know, it's like the hurt is part of the gameplay, and that's not really my thing. But I'm always curious what I'm missing out on, so maybe I can just watch my PlayStation.
Play itself?
Play like Bloodborne or something for me.
What are you doing in this scenario? The game is challenging you. You have another program meeting that challenge. And you're what in this equation? Just the person who pays the electricity bill?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
You're the screen watcher. It's like, you know what? People really like watching, you know, full playthroughs on YouTube. What if the game just plays itself for you?
I'm in a bit of a grindy part of a game that I've been playing with Finn, Planet Crafter.
Yep, which I started playing, by the way, and I'm in so much trouble. So much trouble.
The first hour of crafting games are so much fun. Even though they're completely repetitive, they're so much fun.
I really enjoy like third, fourth hour. A lot of times I get frustrated by the very earliest parts because every game has its own sort of system and loop, right? It's like on its own progress loop. And sometimes figuring out even like what the progress loop is can be frustrating for me.
Yeah.
In just the way I like the games. But once I start trucking along, I have the understanding and I'm like, okay, I want to do this. So I need to do this and this and this and this. Give myself a shopping list basically and then go for it. I have a great time.
Or you just give your new autoplay feature task to do and check in later. We're all going to be like middle managers, even for our own entertainment. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for us today. Actually, I was thinking about this today. While you're talking about autoplay on video games, what do you think is the over-under on us in our household? How long will it be before we own a robot that lives in our house with us?
Well, we already had a vacuum. So
that's true. But I mean, so, like, you know what I mean? Like a robot, like
humanoid
walking around.
Robot. Man, I don't know. That Boston Dynamics video is like got me thinking. It feels like that's where we're headed. And then just like goes, has its own like bedroom and plugs in at the end of the day.
I feel like we're 5 years away from it. What do you think?
5 years? Yeah, could be. We're definitely going to have the artificial intelligence for it to be able to do everything for us and then snark at us.
We only need Sony's autoplay. We'll just hand the robot a controller and say, get to work, buddy.
Maybe that's how it's going to work.
All right. Well, that does it for us today. Hey, be on the lookout. There is a new Deadpool and Wolverine trailer dropping today if you're interested in that kind of thing. We will be back to talk to you about that and other things tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.